got something in my hand. You can get it if you understand. It's the key, little woman, unlocked down his door. It's the key, oh babe, that unlocks my door. Because my regular woman don't stay there no more. Well, you won't have to worry, won't even hang your head and cry. Just come inside, bake your daddy a pie. Baby, Miss Lim. I don't want nobody that don't know how to use my key. Been handled so rough, that's what's wrong with me. I've been handled so rough, that's what's wrong with me. I don't want nobody don't know how to use my key. Won't have to wash my dishes, won't have to even scrub my floors. Just take care of the key, unlocks my front door.
How's it going, everybody? It's Marcus here with Goody Reader. You're listening to the Goody Reader Week in Review for Tablet, Slate, e-reader news. We sum up pretty well the news that comes in down the wire this week in an easy, understandable, digestible format. Pretty well, if you want to know more about any of the stories we talk about, we have written full articles on them on our e-reader blog this week. So you can definitely check out the Week in Review posts that we made, and simply just click on the title of the story that you want to hear more about. But we're pretty well going to give you the gist of all the stories, as well as a little bit of insight on what we feel are like the most important news items of the week. So, as always, it's the Week in Review, May 22nd. Barnes & Noble introduces Puppet for independent publishers. This is a great new service that Barnes & Noble is introducing. It's allowing independent authors, independent writers, to be able to submit books and have them sold on the Barnes & Noble website. So people that have Nooks, people that buy books online and read them on smartphones or on various other devices. Amazon, Sony have been doing this for a while. Amazon currently does the digital text platform program. They offer authors 25% of all sales. Barnes & Noble are going to allow writers up to 75%. 75% is going to pretty well be the new industry format. The iBookstore by Apple currently does 75%, as well as Sony. Amazon, you know, seeing what all these guys are charging and allowing their authors to actually take home as income, have said that starting this June, Amazon will also offer 75% of each book sale to the authors. So the Puppet platform is a partnership between Barnes & Noble and a company called Smashwords. Smashwords is pretty well one of the larger sites out there that allow authors to actually publish their works via, if you write it, say, as a doc or a PDF, you can submit these books to Smashwords. Smashwords will offer these books in all available e-reader formats, so EPUB, Sony formats, PDFs, and so on. They allow you to go to this website and immediately sample books before you buy them, as well as actually purchase the books directly by them. So Barnes & Noble and Smashwords are forming a joint venture, so it'll allow independents to actually make a good living. And this is always good news for more major retailers. As you know, Barnes & Noble is the world's largest bookseller. And so they have a lot of clout. A lot of people know who this company is. A lot of people exclusively deal with them. So allowing authors to be able to publish through Barnes & Noble allows people who, say, don't have a big publishing agreement, or if they don't already have, you know, representatives and a big crew backing them, allowing them to actually sell their books, go on tour to support this book, make the radio and talk show circuits. You know, publishers have all those networks in place. Now, if you're simply an independent writer selling your own books through your own website, building up your own fan base through Facebook, Twitter, through blogs, they also have a new way through Barnes & Noble and their Pubbit. It's in order to sell the books and actually make, you know, 75% of each sale, you know, times 10,000, 20,000, 50,000. You know, that's a not bad take-home pay, considering that each ebook runs for about $10 or so as a general rule. Although companies like Amazon are starting to sell books from $11 to all the way to $20 now for ebooks, for new release bestsellers and new releases in general. So NVIDIA is going to be releasing a new Android-driven tablet. They announced this at the Google I/O conference over the last few days. So there's a few actually newsworthy items that come out of this Google Expo. The first is the NVIDIA partnership with Foxconn. They're going to be putting out an 8.9-inch multi-touch touchscreen Slate PC. It'll be running 1024 by 600 pixel resolution, so it'll give you HD of about 720p. It'll be having a Tegra 2 processor on this. For more information as far as processor speed and what type of NVIDIA video capabilities on it, check out our blog on it. Don't want to get into the actual semantics of it because we have a lot of news to, you know, good to go over right now. Speaking of the Google Expo, some other little news has happened out of there in the terms of the new Android 2.2 operating system that they showed. It looks like a great add-on, and a lot of mandatory updates will be occurring through this. Basically, it'll be really showing off open source HTML5, gets enhancements through it. It'll offer better support for features like accelerometers, cameras, speech input, web applications. We got a huge article on everything to do with this, so you can check out our blog for further information. Some other news that's happened is Amazon is going to be debuting a Google Android application this summer. This is the last major platform in the form of Android that Amazon has not released their bookstore app through it. As you know, Amazon has Kindle the PC, they have applications for iPhones, the iPod Touch, Blackberries, and a slew of other operating systems. So with the addition of Android, you'll be able to install the Kindle app as long as your Android is 1.6 or greater, and well, having an SD card on it. If you have an Android 2.1 smartphone, or 2.2 now, you can use the new Kindle application, say your Nexus One, your HTC Evo, the Motorola Click, the Droid, as well as a slew of other smartphones. So say you buy some books on your Kindle, you can actually just log in into your same account as you have for your Kindle on your Android device and actually read the book, so you don't actually have to buy the books twice. You can simply just use the same account. Now, an interesting report has been done by a BitTorrent site called Torrent Freak, and they recently investigated the number of ebooks posted and downloaded on its site since the April release of the iPad, and they've seen ebooks dramatically increase by about 78%. Now, that's a significant number. It really indicates that there's a large surge right now in downloading ebooks. Now, when you actually buy the iPad, it actually comes shrink-wrapped in plastic, and it has a little sticker there that says, "Don't steal music." Well, sure, but what about books? You know, considering the iBookstore has almost seen 1 million downloads in books, both in samples, free books, and paid books, there is a large there's a large resurgence in ebooks right now. Basically, the last year or so, ebooks have enjoyed tremendous growth from online bookstores such as Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Sony, Kobo Books. And now the iBookstore, a lot of growth in the e-reader industry, as well as a number of new devices, are putting e-readers into the public's hands. So not only can you read e-books and e-readers, of course, but you can read them on netbooks, PCs, as well as smartphones and portable mobile devices. So e-books are becoming a very vibrant industry right now. And the number of ebooks being sold, especially through Amazon, they're selling more ebooks than they are real books. So you can see that the demand for ebooks now as a cheaper alternative to buying a tangible book. Say you buy a new hardcover release, you know, sometimes you're paying $35 to $40 for it, whereas the ebook version is only $10. So a lot of people, just out of economic necessity or any attempts to save money, are now buying e-readers. They're now buying ebooks in order to save some money over the long term. If you're an avid book reader and you can save, you know, say $1,000 a year on books, you know, and as well as you're getting more value for your money, for every ebook that you're buying, for say a hardcover new book, you know, if you were to buy it for $45 at the bookstore, you can actually buy 4 books for that money and end up reading more and spending the same amount. So not too shabby. So they're saying that for the torrent sites, EPUB format is the most downloadable format right now, as well as PDFs. Now, still a lot of the ebooks that are on these torrent sites are on very low quality, often that they're scanned versions that somebody at home with a scanner prints up. So you'll notice blank pages, you'll notice that text will not always line up properly. It'll be indented to the right one page, be centered on the next page. So basically really hacky jobs. But there are a number of really good quality ebooks out there that people end up decrypting with various technologies. So there is definitely a huge rise on ebook piracy. The iPad isn't totally to blame, but it's one of those extenuating factors that, due to the popularity of it, due to a lot of people being introduced to ebooks for the first time via this device, there is a noticeably huge trend in a percentage of ebook downloads occurring off of BitTorrent trackers. Now, Torrent Freak is one of the first companies to actually report the numbers. It'll be interesting to look at other sites, other larger sites, and to see what their ratio in books has been since April and the debut of the iPad, as well as looking at, say, the international release that's happening at the end of May, how the percentage of books being downloaded, if it increases even more, because don't forget, if it's only increased by 78% in just the US market, think about what the Canadian market, the European market, Australia, New Zealand, look what those markets might be, and we might see a phenomenal growth in this. Now, don't think that this has just come out of the blue. Authors and the Authors Guild for a long time have been, you know, the piracy of ebooks has been a really big factor with them. The fact is that they really haven't had management really backing the piracy problem, but there's been a new sort of leader, a promotion, if you will, by a guy named Scott Turow of the Authors Guild, and he's basically making it his mandate to look at the big problem, which is ebook piracy. So he's basically going to try to band all the authors together to approach the publishers and try to get more, you know, to get more of a legal backing to be able to stop book piracy. But you look at, say, what people have done with music or done with video, although quite a number of people get in trouble for that, it's often pales into comparison to how easy it is to find music and video online. Personally, I know a lot of people that grab music for free. It's often their first choice to go to YouTube and listen to an album on YouTube, song by song, or to just download the album. So, you know, in the flip side of the coin, I do know people as well that through iTunes and through various other digital formats actually support the authors, actually buy music, say, directly through them, through their website or through iTunes, or other bigger media companies. So hopefully we'll start seeing cheaper prices with ebooks, because the way that you could sort of defeat piracy is to offer more features for the paid version than you would with, say, the free version. If you look at, say, video games, they've put in a lot of talking to the server as you play, so it's harder to play pirated games because you constantly need to be able to be talking to, you know, the authentication server. So we'll be interested to follow how ebooks will change, you know, over time. Certainly Google Editions, which we've talked about in a previous e-reader radio show, and we've posted numerous posts on Google Editions. Loose decision, Google Editions will allow publishers and authors to sell books directly off their website, with Google handling all of the payment, the actual downloads and uploads of the book, and the general customer service. So with new publishing methods like that, it really, you know, allows people to set their own price for ebooks. So if you're an independent author, you want to actually sell your book through Google Editions, you can do that. And as a reader, it's a simple app that's based in the cloud, so similar to like Gmail or Google Talk or any of Google Documents, anything like that, where you're based working in the cloud. That's where you would actually be doing your book as well. So it's easier to be able to control that sort of thing because it exists in the cloud. So it'll be interesting to see how the publishing industry will change with the rise in ebook piracy, with combined with the forces of the Authors Guild and what type of, you know, hornet's nest they stir up, combined with just the market force. There's a ton of ebooks being sold right now, and 5 years ago, ebooks weren't really huge at all. It was really niche and very fringe. Not a whole lot of people read books on their computer. So a lot of publishing companies like Amazon, they see tremendous growth quarter after quarter with ebooks. And if you look at ebooks, it's like free money for a publishing company. You know, if you want to print up a book, there's costs in binding, in printing, in ink, in truckers picking up from one location, shipping it to another, to the people working in the bookstore shelving this book. There's a lot of costs involved with ebooks. They print it up once and they just resell it again and again and again and again. So you might not see over the next, say, year or two, any large changes in ebooks and how widely available they are to be able to consume and download. And you probably won't see a lot of crazy witch hunts, you know, in the media about people getting busted for downloading them and such, just because there's so many people making so much money at this that I think that they're just going to want to maintain the status quo for a while and just enjoy the rise of mobile devices being able to read ebooks, the amount of new e-readers being sold, just not in North America, but in the Asian markets, in the Australian and New Zealand market. There's a number of new devices being available where there was few before, but now you have way more options of variety, as well as factors, say, like the Kobo e-reader that's only $150, so it really puts it as an impulse buy and a really accessible type of e-reader to purchase. The Kobo is basically $110 less than any other e-reader on the market right now. So combined with low cost of ebooks, combined with really affordable e-readers, there is a huge growth, and we don't really see the iPad as increasing piracy, maybe in the short term, but certainly not in the long term. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to play a little bit of a song, and we'll start covering the rest of the news. It's Marcus here with Giddy Reader, and we're going to just get into a little bit of smaller news items that have happened this week, although by no means are some of them small, some of them are actually quite significant. Like at the Google conference, they debuted Android 2.2, which will support further HTML5. It will also increase features like accelerometers, cameras, speech input for web applications, as well as a whole slew of other features. We wrote a huge article about all the features in this new 2.2 Android-driven operating system. So you can definitely check out our blog for the full news story on it. Speaking of Google Android, a company named Blue Sky is releasing a tablet PC dubbed the BL10. Now, as opposed to just being Android-based, you're going to have a 10.1-inch touchscreen. It'll do about 1024 by 576 for pixel resolution. It'll have a 533 megahertz processor and coupled with about 120 megabits of RAM. You'll be able to actually upgrade it to 256 megabytes of RAM. You'll have inboard 2 gigabytes of storage, but you will be able to upgrade it up to 32 gigabytes via SD. Now, the processor that they're going to be able to use, which is to say the new VIA processor, people say that it's a stark contrast to the Intel Atom processor that they use for mobile computing. So it's going to be interesting to see where this device will go. 533 megahertz isn't that much. Based 128 megabytes of RAM is not very much at all. So it's hard to say whether this device will go anywhere. It all depends on the price of it and how easy is it going to be in a consumer hands. But we don't really see this device going anywhere. We would pass on it if I were you. Acer is debuting a new Acer tablet PC, the 1825. They're going to be showing it at Computex next month. It'll have 1.3 gigahertz processor, 2 megabytes of RAM. The touchscreen will actually have 11.6 inches and will do a very modest 1366x768 pixels. It'll have Windows 7 64-bit. You'll have about 3 gigahertz of RAM, a built-in 250 gigabyte hard disk drive. It'll have an Intel GS45 Express graphics chipset. It looks like a pretty sweet PC, and the older tablet PCs, how you can actually swivel the screen around and actually press the screen down to cover the actual keyboard so you can use it as a mobile Wacom tablet, or you can use it to draw, you can use it to write, you can use it to take notes, or just sit back and watch a movie. It being Windows 7 makes the Windows 7 of tablet PCs one of the few Windows 7 PCs of the tablet and slate variety to actually come out this year. There was a number of tablets and slates with Windows 7 that were to be shown off this year, most notably the Microsoft Courier and HP Slate, but they are currently two scrap projects, although the HP is releasing the Hurricane Slate running the newly acquired Palm Web OS. Now, there's another, speaking of subpar tablets to come out, a Chinese company named Eken is releasing the Eken M003. They're going to be selling it for roughly about $240. They're exclusively selling it in China, but knowing that the way that they market PCs, it should be pretty easy for someone in North America to actually buy this. It's going to be running Android 1.6 with, isn't that good? It's 800x480 resolution and 8 inches of LCD color display. It'll have a 600 megahertz processor. It'll do Wi-Fi, has built-in 128 megabits of RAM. It'll have an SD card slot, so much like most of the other slates and tablets out there, you can increase it to 32 gigabytes. This is also a pass if you're going to be buying a touchscreen tablet or slate. There's way better companies to go for than a company named Eken out of China. Considering its resolution, which really isn't that great, 8 inches, which isn't that great, no content distribution system at all, so there's no store to buy books, there's no store to buy apps. You're pretty well left to fend on your own if you want to install any apps on this device. Android 1.6 isn't that great considering Android is now pretty well as a standard on most new slate devices to come out, 2.1. And with the advent of all the crazy great features of 2.2 of Android, we would say give this a pass unless you live in China. But if you're living there already, there's probably cheaper devices that you can buy of this. If you live outside of China and you want to buy a new tablet PC, we say pass on this device. Now, one of the last bit of news items is Apple. They have had a policy for newly released devices, most notably with the iPod, with the iPhone, the iPod Touch, and so on. When Apple releases new products, due to a large demand in these products, they limit purchases. So if you go into an Apple store and you say, I want to buy an iPad, they're like, great if you can actually find an Apple store that actually still has them for sale. You're only allowed to buy two, and you're only allowed to use credit cards or debit cards. And this has been the Apple unofficial policy for the last 4 or 5 years. Now, some lady changed this all. Her name's Diane. She, after getting rejected for wanting to pay for an iPad in cash, actually ran to her local media, who then covered the store, interviewed her, and she was shocked and dismayed at the policy that basically said cash only. As you know, it's pretty not good business practice to demand a certain payments from people, and in some places it's actually illegal to deny people the ability to pay in cash for your products. So basically, within 24 hours of this interview that ran, not only did Steve Jobs personally call the Apple store and have two employees actually deliver an iPad right to her house for free, but they also changed the policy. So you can now pay for an iPad in cash. And the one drawback of this is that you actually have to activate your iPad in the store using one of the store Apple computers and overseen by an Apple store employee. So this is sort of a way that they could verify that you're going to be keeping this iPad, that you're just not going to come in every 20 minutes with cash, keep on buying them, sell them on eBay, make a killing. So due to demand for the iPad, they have basically said that, okay, if you have cash, you can purchase an iPad now. And so this is a dramatic shift in Apple's, normally they're otherwise draconian policies. So that about does it for this week in eReader and Slate PC News. The name's Marcus. If you want further information on the stories that we talked about, or to read the day-to-day stories on the tablet, Slate PC, and eReader industry news, keep on checking out our Good eReader blog at goodereader.com/blog. As well, if you have an eReader or an interest in Slate PCs and eReaders, which by the end of this radio show, if you're still listening to me, you obviously have a vested interest in these new emerging technologies, in eBooks, content distribution systems, and otherwise. We do publish a monthly magazine called the Good eReader Magazine. We pretty well take the biggest stories from the month, as well as we do a number of industry interviews with various companies, and we publish these in our magazine. We've done interviews with Notion Inc. with their upcoming Notion Inc. Atom. We've done interviews with Fusion Garage that put out the Juju tablet. We're doing interviews currently with the Kobo e-reader, as well as a number of other e-reader and tablet Slate PCs companies. So be sure to check out our Good e-reader magazine. We definitely don't reprint the interviews or anything like that in our blog, so the only way that you can get at this is to subscribe. It's only $1.99 for access. And also, our eReader magazine is available for free to paid members on our forum. Most of our forum is free, where if you want to get eReader support, tablet PC support, read the latest news. If you have an eReader and you want to download the latest firmware, find out what the updates will entail, or just talk with other users that simply have the same device as you do, definitely check out our forum at goodereader.com/forum. And definitely check it out. We also do have an ebook store that we've set up, and it really changes up the ebook paradigm. Our store works the same the BenQ and True Digital store do, where you pay monthly subscriptions in various levels, and it allows you ebook downloads in many different formats. So whether you have a Kindle, a Nook, a Sony, an iPad, or any other type of e-reader device, we offer our ebooks in all formats. We start membership off at $10.99 a month, so it's definitely good value for your money. And for Good eReader, again, this is Marcus, and you've listened to the Good eReader Week in Review.